Efforts to make the arts more representative of America's population are working their way through Hollywood. Now that same trend is continuing in literature. Rockville resident Henna Khan's latest book, Amina's Voice, was the first story published on Salaam Reads, the Simon & Schuster imprint that's dedicated to putting out stories of Muslim children and their families. How are the faces in children's books changing? Joining us now for the children and young adult edition of our summer book series is the aforementioned Henna Khan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Also joining me in studio is Wendy Lukehart. She is the Youth Collections Coordinator at DC Public Libraries. Wendy Lukehart, thank you for joining
us. It's a pleasure to be here.
And if you have recommendations for children and young adult reading this summer, you can call now. Henna, you were not always an author. How did you initially make this transition into writing? What were you doing before?
I was actually working next door at the building at the Van Ness Metro for the Population Council. And I'd been working in public health for a number of years in international development and women's health issues, primarily, mostly as an editor and writer. So I was
working in this neighborhood drove you to becoming an author?
Exactly.
Is this neighborhood that terrible?
No, I loved it. I miss it. But yeah, I had the opportunity at that time to start writing for kids. And I started off with Scholastic Book Clubs, writing for a series that they had, like Spy University and Space University, and enjoyed it so much that I wanted to continue and, of course, publish my own books about stories that mattered to me. And so I slowly transitioned less and less in public health and more towards children's writing, and now I'm doing that full time.
Growing up, what were you seeing in terms of representation in the books that you were reading? Were you seeing characters that you felt you could relate to?
Never. I should preface that to say I definitely related to the characters that I read. I was a voracious reader as a kid, and I loved to read stories mostly about little girls like me and their families. And so I definitely connected with those characters, but I never could relate at the level of seeing myself in any of the stories that I read. I never encountered a Pakistani American girl or a Muslim character really at all until I was probably in my late 20s. And first picked up a book where I felt like I was being represented.
How did that lack of representation affect you even before you started writing yourself?
It's funny, I only think about it now as an adult looking back on my life and how it must have impacted me. And I go back and look at the stories that I wrote. And I even had a family newspaper that I used to write where I chronicled the events of my family. It was called The Chronicles. And I didn't mention anything about my culture or my religion or my family's background in any of the pages. I found the issues in a box. They were yellowed with age. And now looking back, I realize that I wasn't reading stories that represented characters like me. I don't think I felt like I had the license to tell those details or include those aspects of my life because they weren't worth sharing. So I think it affects you in subtle ways as a child that you don't necessarily realize until you're older and look back on what that lack of representation or inclusion really means.
Your book, Amina's Voice, tells the story of a young Pakistani-American girl who struggles with her identity. You, as you mentioned, are also Pakistani-American. How much of your own personal experiences are written into this book?
Quite a few. It's not autobiographical by any means, for the main reason that Amina is a beautiful singer and very talented musician, and I have neither of those abilities. But I did draw heavily from my life and my experience, my family now, my family when I was growing up, and experiences of those around me when writing the book, especially, you know, going back to being in middle school and trying to really create a character who is relatable on very basic levels, dealing with issues of confidence and friendship and adjusting to middle school and changes in her family like any child might be experiencing. And then, of course, there's the added layer of her being a Pakistani-American child and that culture that she's balancing and, of course, being a Muslim and everything related to that as well. So I did draw heavily from my life.
Indeed, you took a part of this book about Amina explaining how to pronounce her name. Why did you do that?
So I went through many, many revisions of the book, and in one early version of it, I had her explaining how, you know, people mispronounced her name all the time. And when I went back and shortened it, I took that part out, and now I'm kicking myself because people don't know how to pronounce the title of the book unless they ask me. So I do pronounce it Amina, but of course, Amina is a very common name as well.
Wendy Lukehart, there have always been themes of inclusion and difference in children's books, but are we seeing a different trend of characters of color and different religions in children's books today?
I think we have definitely turned the tide. You know, there have been articles the last few years about this topic, and I feel that in the last maybe 2 years, we have really turned the tide. We have, of course, the hashtag We Need Diverse Books movement. We have the hashtag Own Voices movement, which is where the books and the author share the same marginalized identity. And we have authors like Jason Reynolds and Kwame Alexander, Andrea Davis Pinkney, Grace Lynn, Henna, of course, and Jazz Jennings, Sherman Alexie, on and on. I mean, these are all people writing inauthentic voices, and I do feel that we are finally making this difference, changing the tide here.
I might not know about many of those people had they not appeared on this broadcast. 800-433-8850 is the number to call. How important was it to see characters that looked like you when you read as a child? 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org. You can go to our website, kojoshow.org, where you will find a list of Wendy Lukhart's recommendations for children and young adult reading. That's at our website, kojoshow.org. But you can also send us a tweet at Kojo Show. How is this impacting the way you do your job, or maybe the way the library presents books to people who come in?
Well, it helps me. I start to really care about what's going on. For example, I've been involved with a project this past year called Children Are Citizens. So in addition to buying books from a variety of publishers and seeking out small publishers and people who are publishing diverse books, I'm looking at other projects that are going on. And I'd really like to tell your listeners about this particular book that I think reflects the diversity of D.C. neighborhoods, and it also, they may know some of the authors, because the authors are children ages 3 to 6, and the title of the book is called Washington, D.C., What People Like Most is in This Book. And some of the groups that wrote this book, I should say they're from 17 different classrooms around the city representing our diversity. And some focus on traffic and transportation. So the chapter by J.O. Wilson's 3-year-olds is entitled Important Things on H Street for Kids and How to Ride the Streetcar to Get There. And they really do explain how to ride the streetcar, where to find sprinkly donuts, hot chocolate, and where to ride a slide while your parents are doing their taxes. And students at the D.C.
See, these are the kids who need to be solving Virginia's transportation
exactly.
problems. Yes,
exactly. Go ahead, and actually, the point of this project is to develop citizenship skills in children. So to get them to notice what problems there are in the city, to work together as a group to solve them, to listen respectfully to one another. That is the whole point of this project. And it's initiated. The project is called Children Are Citizens. It's initiated by researchers from Harvard's Graduate School of Education, and they've worked in conjunction with the National Gallery of Art and the Washington International Schools Professional Development Collaborative. These groups have all worked together to produce this 150-page book with, again, representation from around the city. And I think that in reading it, you will see these children are developing these global citizenship skills, and it's heartening and inspiring.
We got a tweet from Lila L. who says, Amina's voice and Etsalam reads are on the Kojo Show? Love it. Tell us a little bit, or tell our listeners a little bit about your first book, Salam Reads.
Yeah, so Salam Reads, it's amazing to be a part of this groundbreaking imprint that Simon & Schuster created, and it was a real honor to have Amina's voice be the first publication. The book is really about a 12-year-old girl, Amina, and her experiences, like I mentioned, trying to find the confidence to perform on a stage, to deal with her friendships changing and her best friend starting to befriend another girl who they never liked before, like very typical middle school challenges. But it also deals with a mosque vandalism incident. And that's not the point of the book, but that is something that Amina's family and community faces. And I think because of the climate that we're in now and the fact that this is something that many communities are sadly facing, it's become, unfortunately, very relevant.
Very relevant, particularly at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier that you can find Wendy's list of recommended books at our website, kojoshow.org. Amina's voice is on that list. You also recommended a picture book, a reimagining of the Three Billy Goats Gruff. What appealed to you about that book?
Well, This book is written and illustrated by Jerry Pinkney, who's a Caldecott Award-winning artist. And he lives near a game preserve, and his ability to capture animals, he has truly absorbed the personalities and the postures of animals. So he takes this classic story, and he begins traditionally with the goats trip-trapping over the bridge. But he writes in an author's note that it always confounded him that the troll never got a chance to learn his lesson in the traditional telling of the story. So in his version, when the troll is catapulted into the water by the biggest goat, the troll gets a taste of his own medicine by encountering this gigantic fish. Well, all's well that ends well and everyone survives, but Jerry has a visual epilogue on the end papers so that it's a wordless scene in which the troll is there and the goats are there, and children have to look very closely at the pictures to see how they are coexisting and what is happening. And what I like about this is Jerry is a very gentle and wise author and illustrator, and he seems to be suggesting that when confronting a bully, sometimes you have to use confrontation, sometimes you have to use cleverness, and sometimes you have to use community. And all of these things come into play. He's a master storyteller.
He is also an African-American author. Why does that matter?
Well, it matters for so many reasons. I mean, the fact that he is winning major awards, I think, is important. Obviously, we want to represent African-American authors and all authors of every color and race and background. So, of course, I wanted to highlight his achievements. He's incredible.
Hannah, how would you assess the current state in the publishing industry in terms of access to writers of color, writers of different religion, women?
I think, like Wendy mentioned, it is changing, and I do think there is a call for writers from all backgrounds and people of color, women, marginalized peoples of all kinds to write and to tell their stories and to share through their own voices, their experiences, and to add to the literature that's out there. There's definite recognition that those voices are missing, and they've been missing for a long time, and that we need that to change. Of course, there's a lot of catch up, I think, that has to be done over the next several years. It's going to take time, and a lot of these people who haven't felt like their stories were important enough to share or weren't welcome, they have to have the time to develop them. So I'm hoping that we'll see more and more. I think Salaam Reads is an important step in the right direction. It's going to focus on books about Muslims, from all backgrounds, and to really try to represent the diversity that exists within the community.
As we mentioned earlier, Salaam Reads, as I mistakenly mentioned, is not a book. It's the Simon & Schuster imprint that's dedicated to putting out stories of Muslim children and their families. Here now is Partmas in Alexandria, Virginia. Partmas, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. Thanks for taking my call. I just called to say that as a child, I never came across any character that was similar to me in background. But actually, to me, that was a good thing because I realized that everyone had the same feelings and had the same problems that I did, and it actually made me feel more connected than anything. But that was just my comment.
Interesting, because Wendy Lukehart, when you work with children in a library, what do you find kids look for when picking up a book?
Well, honestly, what they're looking for is fun, usually. When they're coming in the summer, they want just something that's fun. But
Partma seems to suggest that they're also looking for some form of identification with the characters in the book, some similarities with their own lives.
Of course. And one of the pieces of wisdom about children's literature is that it can offer both windows and mirrors. It can be a window into another world for children who are not of that background, and it can be a mirror, as Hannah's books are, for her community. And so, again, it's why we try to create a diverse collection and why we try to get to know our kids and what they're interested in.
Thank you very much for your call. We got an email from Karen who writes, please note that Shout Mouse Press, Hannah Kahn, and Wendy Lukehart are all members of the Children's Book Guild of Washington, D.C. There are resources about writing and illustrating children's books, as well as many local authors at childrensbooksguild.org.
Absolutely.
Amen to that. one of the books you recommended, Wendy Lucart, fascinating me. It's called Du Ist Tag. And it makes me feel unkribble. Can you explain what that all
means? Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, I think this would be a great summertime read because it's the story of a plant. And so when you open the first page, it's a creamy white background and a small seedling is growing at the bottom of the page. That's all you see. And the language sounds a little pseudo-German, but actually it's insect language. So you see these two beautifully coiffed and clothed winged creatures discussing at the bottom of the plant. And so you come to figure out from context what they are saying. And so I'm imagining that Du ist Tag means what is that? And so it goes. And as you turn the pages, this incredible insect world comes to life.
Yes, Unc Ribble apparently expresses the bug's emotions.
Exactly. You've done your homework.
Yes, it made me feel very happy. So that's why I said Unc Ribble. Here now is Sarad in Arlington, Virginia. Sarad, you're on the air. Put on your headphones, please, so you can hear Sarad. Sarad, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I find the talk today fascinating because usually the first day of school, the teachers messed up my first name. So I thought that was interesting. But my question today is, do you all think that there is any correlation between the lack of diversity in early literacy or early books and early literacy? And I ask this because I didn't become a reader until I was probably in high school, where I really began to love reading, and I went the back way. I kind of went through like underworld books, and then I became more fond of like other types of literature. And I just wanted to know, like literacy adoption, like, is there a correlation? I want to say that there is in my own perspective, but I just want to hear from you all about that.
We only have about a minute left, so I'll ask you both to respond to that. First you, Wendy, and then Hannah.
I haven't actually seen any studies on that, but common sense would suggest that it's true.
Same
yeah,
you,
and I think so, too. I've heard that from so many readers, that they looked for that and they felt this connection. And even Walter Dean Myers talked about the shock of recognition that kids get when they see themselves for the first time in a book. And I think the earlier that can happen, the better for them to instill that love of reading.
You can see Wendy Lucart's recommendations at our website, kojoshow.org. She is Youth Collections Coordinator at D.C. Public Libraries. Hannah Khan is a Rockville resident. She's the author of Amina's Voice. Thank you both for joining us. And that's it for the show today, but we've always got more happening online. You can find all the summer and winter reading lists from past years at our website, kojoshow.org. We'll be updating this year's summer reading list for kids and young adult readers this afternoon to reflect some of the books we just talked about on the air. And if you want to see us IRL for more talk about books, check out wamu.org/books to look at the current calendar of events around town featuring interviews between WAMU staff members and notable authors. Don't forget to meet us back here tomorrow. Tom Sherwood and I will be talking with D.C. Police Chief Peter Newsham and with Alec Ross. He's a former Obama administration official at the State Department. He's one of the declared candidates running for the Democratic nomination in next year's race for governor in Maryland. That's the Politics Hour tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you all for listening and keep reading. I'm Kojo Nnamdi.
The Kojo Nnamdi Show is produced by Michael Martinez, Ingelisa Schrobsdorf, Ruth Tam, Mark Gunnery, Avery Kleiman, and Patrick Fort. The engineer is Meg Bunting. Cliff Gallagher has been on the phones. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at our website, kojoshow.org.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Nnamdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at wamu.org, and thanks.